Hello everyone, I'm Amazon, and this is Amazon's Gadget Talk for Tuesday, 29th of June, 2021. Today's episode, we've got lots of things to talk about. Samsung has shown off some new things, has talked about some new things. They didn't announce any new devices, but also at the same time, we're getting to hear quite a lot more about their wearables and gadgets, obviously, that they're planning to launch. We've got plenty to talk about. That Infinix phone that we've kept talking about for the past 2 weeks, now we know what it really is, and no, it's not an actual phone you're able to buy, haha, no surprise. And and Australian Consumer Safety Regulator is warning people to not buy AirTags because the battery, or you could say that they're issuing a warning that they shouldn't give AirTags to kids because they'll easily open the battery and eat it, which is a real problem. But yeah, that's all on today's show. But yeah, let's just start with what Samsung is showing off here. So Samsung did an event yesterday, kind of starting off Mobile World Congress 2021 in Barcelona. As I earlier mentioned, they didn't do it in February, but they decided to do the event in June instead, obviously because now more people are vaccinated and they can go attend events, and events can be back to normal, you know how it is. But Samsung decided to do a little virtual event to talk about some new things that they have going on. And the first of many is that Samsung is now using Wear OS by Google. Now, To cut you the long story, in case you don't know, Samsung does make smartwatches. They're great, they're fast, and they're really good, but they happen to use their very own operating system based on Tizen, their in-house OS that they designed for smart originally for their phones, but that didn't really take off. Instead, they added it to their smart TVs and certain gear. And smartwatches was one of the many uses of Tizen OS, but the best part was that Samsung's watches were rock solid, had a whole lot of software features, had a robust software experience, and honestly, comparing it to Android watches of the same kind, Samsung really went one step further, you could say, for lack of a better word here. So you could say Samsung didn't really use Android Wear or Wear OS until now, and now obviously Samsung and Google have come together to bring over Wear OS, Google's wearable OS over to Samsung wearables. But this time, it's not going to be the whole Wear OS. It'll be a custom version of Google's Wear OS called One UI Watch. Now, they didn't show off any new smartwatches that could carry the OS. They're claiming that just wait till Unpacked, which we know will be in August eventually, which is in over a month from now, well over one whole month later from now, and we know what is going to be coming on during Unpacked: the foldables, the watch, the new Galaxy Watch earbud, Galaxy Buds. In fact, we kind of have leaked renders of the buds too, but obviously we'll just get to that later on. Obviously, no new devices announced right here, but they've talked mainly about software and what they're doing to offer a better user experience, to offer a whole galaxy of experiences, because that's what Samsung's focusing on these days. It's not about the devices, ultimately. It is about your experience, really. That's how it is. It's not always about the cold hardware. It's not all cold hardware. There's the software element. Anyways, so now that we have One UI Watch, which is a custom version of Android of Google's Wear OS, it'll obviously come with some new interesting features. Now, according to Samsung, they worked with Google to offer to do some enhancements with Samsung's hardware. They've worked with Google to bring an optimized version of Wear OS. Now, if you've seen reviews of Google's Wear OS watches, not their own really, I mean third-party wearables that have Google's OS, you have heard complaints about poor battery, apps crashing. Good news in Samsung's watches, hopefully we'll see when there are Galaxy watches with One UI Watch coming out soon. whether this is the case or not, but they claim you're able to have faster performance, longer battery life, and a wide range of applications, including Google Apps. So now you can actually use Google Maps, YouTube, music, and much more. It'll run flawlessly on a Galaxy Watch with One UI Watch compared to Tizen before. Now, a lot of the apps that they've shown off here have been available on Tizen, on the Tizen-based where Galaxy Watch is like OS, you could say. There's no official name for it, but it's based on Tizen. Like, Spotify's been available on Tizen, but now they'll switch to an Android version, and that will be a bit seamless. But yeah, unlike before, where to really get your Android phone to communicate with a Samsung Watch, you really had to have the Wear Manager, you had to get Samsung's own smartwatch app so it would integrate with all your data and would sync. Now it's obviously built in straight into your phone, kind of. It'll integrate more with Android in general. So if you download an app off the Play Store on your phone, it will be available automatically on your watch without any additional settings. You should be able to sync time and settings easily. And the interface is a little straightforward, almost carrying the cool style of One UI. So seems like Samsung was able to switch to Google's smartwatch operating system, but with one exception, or they kind of reached a compromise in that Samsung controlled the UI in a sense, hence One UI Watch, and offered extra tidbits and optimizations. Well, I mean, if Samsung's able to, I mean, if and also it's great that Wear OS is coming to Galaxy Watches. I think it's great. Google has scored a win here. They had to buy Fitbit so that they improve their wearable game. But honestly, if you look at the market, they really need more Android, Wear OS, Google Wear OS based variables, if that's even a sentence to say. They need more options on the market. I mean, if you want to compete with, okay, the best part is Fitbit's bought out by Google, so now Google has a chance to offer a rock solid variable experience. I mean, Google's got good software and kind of the ecosystem equivalent, really. Now it needs some solid products, really, or solid watches, that so that people really are pushed into buying a Wear OS watch over, let's just say, an Amazfit or a custom OS or a Huawei watch. You can buy a Huawei watch in some places, and that has its own operating system. So, this is a big move from Samsung. And also Google is probably benefiting a bit because they now get a larger install base. But again, it had to come at a cost of Samsung getting some control. And speaking of which, Samsung obviously will now offer a design tool letting you create your own, letting pros, obviously, or designers make their own watch faces for their watches, which is pretty cool. Interestingly, as I said, there's no information about device, about new devices. They didn't talk about that. On top of that, speaking of software, Samsung has announced that if you have enterprise versions of these phones, the S20, S21 series, and Note 20 series, and many more other devices, you're able to get 5 years of security updates, the ones you get for Android every month. 5 years of security updates, which is pretty good, instead of 5 years, which is pretty good for enterprise devices. Obviously, to make this happen, you'd probably want to have, if your phone is an enterprise device officially, it has NOx switched on and stuff, it should be there. But it's pretty good if you are, if you bought a Samsung device for corporate uses, or for, say, as a device for your marketing or whatever, really, I don't know what you use your phones for at work, but if you know, then you know, IYKYK, if I said that right. That's the official stuff from Samsung. And then we've got the leaks that have been coming out nonstop. Lots of renders, lots of leaks about upcoming devices at Unpacked. We kind of, the more leaks and rumors that have been coming out, we're getting a clearer idea what's going to come out at Samsung Unpacked 2021. Hopefully in early August, within the first week or two of August. And obviously, there will be an episode for this, hopefully. It's probably because if they do it on a Wednesday or even a Monday, then next day we'd probably talk about it on our show. Anyways, so in a sense, what we do know is that Samsung will be releasing not one but two foldable devices, the Z Flip 3 and the Z Fold 3. So both are third generation foldable phones from Samsung. The Flip obviously is a flip phone, foldable, pretty cool, you know, competes with the Moto foldable Razr, yes, the Moto Razr. The Z Fold 3 is like a folding out kind of like a book, if that's the simplest way to explain it. But interestingly, we've gotten renders of these devices, which is pretty good, courtesy exclusively apparently of a site called Giznext, who probably have gotten these renders from I've seen our link to this article from Ivan Blass. I didn't mention a source. They say it's exclusive, but oh well, we'll go with it. So the Z Flip 3, the renders, it shows what we kind of already seen before. We've talked about before. The design is sort of at the back. It's almost like a glass look. On the back, it's all glass with this sort of on the top area, a two-tone finish with a kind of a black piano black look on the top, reflecting. It goes across the. It occupies the top half almost. So you say a third of the top is that piano black glossy design, a bit like the S21. We've already talked about it before. This is another render with that design, and obviously the screen is completely foldable, completely. And at the back, and obviously on the outside, in that black sort of third area, you could say one third that is completely piano black, there's a little always on display that shows notifications like the original Z Flip, but it's a bit more real estate, as we've heard from earlier this year, from this past couple of months. We've been hearing a lot about these phones, so it's exactly what we've been told or we've been heard about. But aside from that, it's but more refined design from the original Z Flip. It's got, as we can see with the renders, there is a power button that doubles as a fingerprint sensor, volume rocker right there, like on the top area, and the bottom should probably be the battery and the display, half of the display, obviously. And you could probably expect an improved hinge given a design here. It's more refined from the original Z Flip. It's got that S21 vibes right over here. Obviously, Samsung is going to emphasize the foldables way more than, say, the Note, because you know, people are going to buy these Notes. They're exciting, they're high-end. But interestingly, you'll get a 6.7-inch display as the original, and with a 25 by 9 aspect ratio, and a 1.9-inch external screen, the outer always on display, 1.9 inches. So it's a tad bit bigger, almost double, you could say, from the original Z Flip. So now you're saying, they're thinking, why is it Z Flip 3? Why can't they call it Z Flip 2? Now apparently, this is going to be the third flip phone foldable that Samsung offers. There was a second one, and that was the 5G upgrade to the original Z Flip last year that they released. I think we talked about it on the show, obviously right around we started it in July last year. See, it's been a year already. So this is going to be the third flip phone foldable, you could say, from Samsung. So that's cool. Aside from that, potentially the colors you'll get with the Z Flip 3 would be in dark green, light violet, beige, gray, black, pink, dark blue, and white. Obviously, this probably would come with basic S21 colors. Lilac and black and what else? Blue would probably be the options you'd have at launch, like the S21 series. So they want to maintain some consistency. So that's that, really. And as we talked about the leaks earlier, this will probably feature a Snapdragon processor for the global market, or an Exynos equivalent if they're probably planning as well. But I'm sure for supply chain's sake, they're probably going to stick to a Snapdragon 888 processor all over the world, including US and China, which is important. And yes, there's the supply chain and shortages problem, so they probably want to have one spec so that it would they could be able to make more of it and push it out fast. But yeah, this will be coming out during Unpacked, and this is already we've seen these renders, and it's just like what we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. It's real, guys. It's happening, so that's fun. This phone will cost under $1,500, according to Giznext. So that's something to look forward to. But yeah, on top of that, we have the new Galaxy Watches that will hopefully be coming out, the Watch 4, and the Galaxy Buds 2. Now, we haven't heard much about the Buds, ironically, but apparently, this would probably look a lot, this would probably be an improved version of the Galaxy Buds Pro, or the original Galaxy Buds, in a sense. They'd have a squarish, now the renders, big shout out to 91 Mobiles for this, because they have exclusive render. But it shows a kind of a squarish clamshell design charging case. So you pop your buds in. So it's a bit bigger for a bigger battery. So it'd be a pretty premium earbuds right here. They'll come with four different colors. Piano black, you know, the S21 one, okay, just for context. White, pearl white, from the looks of it. A kind of light olive green color, which looks kind of cool already, straight off that. Not gonna lie, that looks pretty cool nonetheless. And purple, lilac purple, obviously, like the S21. You know, you gotta have matching colors, right? People are gonna buy, you know, people buy Samsung wearables, buy Samsung phones, right? You gotta have matching accessories. So that's pretty cool. But on top of that, leaked renders are showing a new earbud design, which is a bit circly, you could say. I don't know how to describe it. It's a very different from the original Galaxy Buds. It's a bit more straight, a bit more refined, you could say. You also, and the ear nears also have silicone tips, but ironically, the Buds 2 will apparently have active noise reduction, not noise cancellation. So lower your noise, but not cut it out completely. This is the regular Buds, not the Buds Pro, so I'm not surprised right over here. Now, there was FCC listing for this, and apparently the Buds could have a 500 mAh battery, and each earbud would probably have a 60 mAh battery. So if you do the math right over there, that would theoretically be less than 10 charges, less than 5 charges theoretically. And if you keep a safe buffer on the charging case, that would be like 4 charges back to back. So yeah, but this also will be hopefully be coming during Unpacked. I kind of think that it'd do it during Unpacked in August. So that's that. So those are all the new stuff coming out of Samsung. You know, really lots to look forward to what really is a galaxy of experiences that it's getting better day by day. I'm excited for the Z Flip and Z Fold 3, both of them, you know. I really want to see what these are capable of. I mean, how good are these? So, yeah, genuinely cannot wait for these foldables. I mean, it's unfolding very rapidly. And while we talk about, while we talked about upcoming devices, I want to talk about something that already is kind of coming out and will come out soon. Or you could try it out today if you want. Microsoft has rolled out the first insider preview of the Windows 11 preview build 22000.51. This is only available through the Microsoft Windows Insider program. If you signed up for that, you're able to get this update and you can play around with Windows 11. What's not in this insider preview is that Teams integration that I talked about in the previous episode, or Android apps through the store. I did read somewhere over the weekend that you could sideload Android APKs and run them on Windows without a problem. So if you want to do it, if you want to play around with it, if you want to, you know, screw around, then you know what to do over there. And then I read somewhere today that Microsoft could be dropping Windows 11 on October 20th. So that thing is very, very close. But there was teasers in the somewhere in the pictures showing that Windows 11 would be launching on October. The date of the OS was showing as October 20th. Hence, it could be coming on October 20th. But obviously, this could be a phase. It could be a bit of a nice and slow rollout from the looks of it. Obviously, if it does come out in October, you know, you'd want to wait a few months before you're able to run out and get Windows 11 so that, you know, you don't experience bugs or crashes. And I checked in my own computer, my own laptop that I have right now. I think it won't be able to get Windows 11, potentially, because of some of the features like the security module, the secure module, or secure boot not being available. So that's interesting, nonetheless. But we'll see. If it becomes available through Windows 10 update, theoretically, Windows update in Windows 10, and I can get to 11, that'd be good. But yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, I'll probably build a new computer or get a new laptop and run Windows 11. But as I said, it's pretty well designed for newer laptops and Ultrabooks and those sort of things, from the looks of it. So yeah. If you want to know more about Windows 10, do check out my previous episode from last Thursday, technically. It's the episode after this one. Queue it up to hear more about Windows 10. I spent 20 minutes on it, so please do check it out after you listen to this. Oh boy, we talked about this for past two episodes, and well, Infinix has officially announced this phone. We've talked about it. It's pretty cool and everything. But breaking news, you won't be able to buy this. This is a concept phone. Brilliant. I mean, okay, I'm kind of angry that they're not selling this phone officially. This is just a concept. But then the cynical, the economical cynicist in me, the business side of me, was like, yeah, Mahmoud, of course. Yeah, right. You think they're going to sell... Infix is a cheap phone brand, Mahmoud. They sell cheap phones for like under $200. You think they're going to sell a 160-watt fast-charging phone? Think their target market would buy... Honestly, if they did... I mean, not going to lie. If they sold this in Pakistan and India, this would sell... This would push some units. They could sell a couple of these compared to... And this could be one of those top-selling premium phones in South Asia. If they just offered it in South Asia or China, in those markets only, this would sell. But sadly, this is just a concept phone. But I'm not surprised. Again, there was a cynical part of me that thinks that, again, Infinix can't really sell such a phone. It would lose so much money trying to create such a fast phone. But now we know it's a concept. What is this? So the Infinix concept phone 2021. It's this idea that they want. It's basically an amalgamation of ideas that they have thought about and they want to offer on their phones, pretty much. So the first thing is that 160-watt fast charging. Probably one of the first phones out there to offer 160 watts of fast charging out there, which is pretty cool nonetheless. And if you think about it, it's kind of impressive. To say the least, that they're able to offer such fast charging. You get 50 watts of wireless fast charging on this phone in 8C cell battery ratio design, which is pretty cool. And on top of that, they're aiming to obviously make the charging experience a bit better, so they're putting 20 temperature sensors, which help to keep the phone's battery cool at under 40 degrees Celsius. On top of that, the concept phone comes at 160 watt fast charger. Now this is built with gallium nitride and silicon carbide semiconductors, so obviously this not only can get to very high currents, but can handle such continuously fast charging nonetheless. So that's pretty cool. And there's even 60 security protection mechanisms. So if you literally go bumping and cracking with your phone, it will protect the phone inside and out. So don't know how, but this is, again, this is being a concept. They thought they'd play with this idea. This is not an actual phone, but the idea with this is what Infix is wanting to do is really showcase ideas that they've thought in the R&D lab that they couldn't offer on their actual phones, but they want to show it off that they could do it down the road if need be, which is pretty cool. Aside from that, at the back of the phone, which is cool looking and makes you mistake it for a gaming phone in a sense, but it looks futuristic, has this design showing now, but it has a chameleon. It has the back, as I said, is gradient, but it really is color changing. the underneath probably of the panel is color changing, so it would change color, and it's basically based on electrochromic and electroluminescent tech. This is similar to what OnePlus played around with the OnePlus 8T special edition, the concept they made a few months ago earlier in this year, where they showed similar technology off. The Infix folks could pull this off too, which is pretty awesome. Now, if this obviously cost, if such technology does become affordable, it costs $2 to add in. Hopefully, you'd see an Infix in a few years with this technology. So that's that. So that's pretty cool. On top of that, you have a curved screen with 88 degrees of curvature on the sides. That's curvy. Damn, son. That's sharp. On top of that, you have a camera. You have a back camera that awfully looks like a camera system from the OnePlus 9, but the zoom. But it has a periscope zoom lens that can go up to 60 times optical zoom. So it has a 135 millimeter lens, so it can go up to 60 times digitally and 10x optically, which is pretty cool. And it's an 8 megapixel sensor nonetheless, which is kind of interesting. They haven't offered a periscope zoom lens on their phones yet, so they're just showing it off that they could pull it off too. But then the thing is, Infix should start offering premium phones, then they could justify adding such cutting edge functionality like color changing backs and periscope cameras. And it's pretty cool. Now, I think the Now Stencil thing could be on a future Infinix phone easily, because that's not difficult to implement. That's like a few bucks right there to spend. But yeah, when I talk about 160 watt fast charging, for context, you can charge the whole phone in 10 minutes. 10 minutes. A phone is probably half charged. Other phones of this caliber are half charged, you get half the charge in 10 minutes, but here you get full charge in 10 minutes. But yeah, but interesting, this is a concept. They want to show off what they're capable of. They obviously cannot create premium phones or anything of that nature, or they can't afford to add cutting edge functionality, but they could design and make such stuff in lab, and they decided to put it together in a little concept and offer it for people, and it looks cool. There's no information about what processor it comes with, a battery, but probably being a concept, they probably packed whatever they're able to bring in a, at a good cost. I'm sure they thought of launching it, but the economics surely didn't make sense from the looks of it. I mean, it kind of was shown off as a flagship phone potentially, but it ended up being a concept. And again, as I said earlier, not surprised, but I'm impressed. I mean, they're able to pull this off. They should start making these devices. Why are they still playing around with low-end segments? They should really start to get up the ladder, really. But I'm sure they're able to do it once they see, once their core target markets, obviously once the sub-Saharan African phone market, the South Asian phone market, once the incomes, once the ARPUs for those phones start to shoot up, people start paying $700-$800 for a phone, that justification kicks in that you could pay $700-$800 for a phone. I think that probably be when Infinix will start to offer such premium phones, but, or maybe if they launch in more markets, then they can offer it. But yeah, it's an interesting concept. But again, I'm not surprised with the premise here. So yeah, it's pretty interesting idea nonetheless that they're offering here. So the future is really going to come very soon. So yeah, that's for sure. Courtesy of 91 Mobiles and OnLeaks, we've already gotten a leak of an exclusive sort of render of the OnePlus Nord 2. One thing I'll probably say straight off the bat, it basically looks like the original OnePlus Nord from the front and back. The front, you can ditch the second front camera, and there's a singular front camera, and at the back, you have the original Nord look, but now you have a camera grid that is a bit similar to the OnePlus 9 in looks. So you have three cameras and on the back with a flash to the side of the third camera. So probably the third camera is a macro potentially. Aside from that, this obviously will have a MediaTek chip that we talked about earlier. You can again go back and find previous episodes. I mentioned it before, the Dimensity 1200. Aside from that, this is what it kind of really, again, it's sort of like the original Nord, but But the back now awfully mirrors the, looks awfully like the OnePlus 9. In a sense, it's like a cheaper OnePlus 9 with like mid-range specs. This could launch next month. It could be available by September, potentially. So that's something to look forward to, nonetheless. Qualcomm has announced a new Snapdragon 888 Plus, a new processor. This isn't really big news, but this is a Snapdragon's mid-year upgrade. Last year, there was the 865 and the 865 Plus. Now we have the 888 Plus. We have not gotten to the end of June and we have a new processor. Obviously, Mobile World Congress 2021 is happening. So a new CPU for phones, and they'll be coming in upcoming phones very, very soon. We just got to start off by talking about the 888 Plus. First mentioning that in terms of the CPU cores, it has a Cortex X1 CPU that goes all the way up to 3 gigahertz primarily. And you have those Cairo 680 cores. Again, it goes up to 3 gigahertz, which is incredibly fast. Can't believe mobile CPUs have gone that fast. This could go on a laptop if we're not mistaken. On top of that, you have a Adreno 660 GPU built on 5-nanometer architecture, not 3 or 4-nanometer yet. Again, hell, better than nothing almost. You have a Hexagon 780 digital signal processor setup, and again, that's thanks to the faster CPU cores, able to get faster processing, and able to process stuff from your camera sensors. At a speed of 2.7 gigapixels per second, which is incredibly fast. You can process three sensors, really, at triple ISP. You also have triple ISP functionality on the 888 Plus. You're able to capture three 4K HDR videos from three cameras at once. You could take three 28 megapixel photos at once with the digital image signal processor on the Snapdragon 888 Plus. You have security hypervisor, you got 6th generation Qualcomm AI engine, Hexagon 780 AI cores, up to 32 TOPs in processing speed, so that's pretty good. So you can chop through voice commands and algorithms like nobody's business. It's got gaming optimizations with Game Quick Touch functionality, a variable rate shading, and it won't really help unless you play PUBG or Free Fire, but okay, pretty cool. Third generation Elite Gaming functionality. So this is just a cool feature that they've been offering on their high-end chips for the past couple of years to make your PUBG Mobile and Free Fire gaming, like your sessions with those games, wonderful. But mobile chips are no good without the cellular aspect. You gotta connect and call and download at blazing speeds. You wanna be able to download The Mandalorian on Disney Plus in 2 seconds. You wanna be able to blink and it already finished downloading. In that case, you have an X60 modem, as always, third generation millimeter wave functionality, carrier aggregation on 5G networks without a problem, FastConnect 6900 Wi-Fi chip, yes, that's the name, don't ask me why. Bluetooth 5.2 supports out of the gate, so that is in the processor nonetheless. And speaking of millimeter wave, Qualcomm's been making a thing about trying to add more support for millimeter wave functionality, and they've kind of made a point that 35 plus OEMs and carriers will be committing to support millimeter wave functionality. Not many parts of the world offer 5G millimeter wave. It's not about, it's not something proprietary, really. It's about the fact that it's kind of competing spectrum. What do providers go for? And phone brands. Mid-band and low-band 5G have been getting the biggest chunk of attention. All over the world, primarily, 5G networks have been going online using mid-band spectrum. Millimeter wave hasn't gotten much traction outside of China, South Korea, US, and Japan. And obviously now Qualcomm's trying to change that. It'll take time, obviously, because it's not that simple. It'll depend on governments all over the world opening up spectrum for millimeter wave. There's nothing proprietary with millimeter wave 5G. Huawei offers millimeter wave too on their phones, I think. There's no such thing as mid-band 5G. Though the irony also on the flip side is that mid-band 5G is also capable of gigabit speeds. That's with the bandwidth and your backend and your backbone. If it's capable of gigabit, offering constant gigabit speeds, then your mobile reception through your phone, you're able to get gigabit speeds also. So yeah, I mean, but aside from that, it's a wonderful new chip for if you want a new end-of-the-year flagship, if you're in the market for one. According to Qualcomm, Asus, Honor, Motorola, Vivo, and Xiaomi will have SD 888 Plus phones by the end of this year, hopefully. Yes, end of the year. It's second half, but end of the year, hopefully. So do expect to do expect some new phones, excitingly. So apparently, Honor will have offering a Snapdragon phone for the first time in a long time. The Honor Magic 3 series will come with the Snapdragon 888 Plus a chip, potentially the Pro model. You never know. So, but that's that. It's quite, again, it's quite awesome, and it's quite exciting that Qualcomm is a new chip. Also, they're trying to kind of, and also being Mobile World Congress, they're trying to brag about how great millimeter wave is, you know, bolstering, talking about the speeds and the benefits. And I think the only good thing I'd see from millimeter wave is millimeter wave 5G is good for mobile broadband, for fiber and cable beating, you know, the internet cable or fiber optic broadband service you have. If you want something to beat it wirelessly, then millimeter wave 5G makes sense. And then you look past it, really, it's not that practical. And if you talk about your phone, like, it, you point your phone in one spot, it would give you gigabit speeds. Move it to the next block or turn it around and face a tree, speeds go all the way down to zero almost. So it's crazy nonetheless. And again, as Qualcomm's trying to get people to, you know, add on millimeter wave, it would be exciting, it would help everybody, and that's that. So yeah, that's interesting development nonetheless. Speaking of some new gadgets or new things that will definitely be coming out soon, Nothing, which was founded by CarPi, is announcing that their first product will be showed off on July 27th, the Nothing Ear 1, a cool-looking wireless TWS earbuds, you could say, will be launched on July 27th. Not more information from that. A couple of tech reviewers, MKBHD, Unbox Therapy, have shown off an invite to the event. Apparently, this will have a stripped-down aesthetic, and it's been designed with the folks over at Teenage Engineering, so it'll be pretty funky. It'll be pretty funky nonetheless. I said punky. I was about to say funky, but yeah, that's quite exciting nonetheless. So I kind of talked about it, teased it early in the show, but now we're getting to it. In the Down Under, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission is warning people to keep AirTags away from young children. And I'll read their statement here in case you're curious. I'll try not to do an Australian accent because I'm pretty bad at it. And yeah, the ACCC is concerned that the AirTags battery compartment, could be accessible to young children, and the button battery removed with ease. In addition, the AirTag battery compartment's lid does not always secure fully on closing, and a distinct sound plays when the AirTag's lid is being fully closed, suggesting the lid is secure when it may not be. So I'm sure they did their investigation and they kind of heard from people and complaints, and they were like, they decided to seriously take the claim of that the AirTags is would be dangerous for, would be hazardous for children because, you know, children could easily access the battery and eat it, which is a serious concern. Now, it cautions that, and again, big shout out to The Verge for the scoop, it cautions that AirTag's small lithium button batteries, the coin cell batteries, can severely injure children if they leak or become stuck in a child's throat, nose, or ear. It raises particular concerns about Apple's design, making those batteries too readily accessible. Again, from The Verge. Sorry, there's some kids in the back. I mean, the house to my left, and they've gone out into the terrace. It's pretty annoying, but oh well. But I think it's a fair point that the Australian authority here, the regulator here, has mentioned that basically the AirTags, the way they work is that inside, the way they're powered is that they have a coin cell battery inside, And the Australian regulator's concern, the ACCC's concern in the Down Under, is that the AirTags have a coin battery inside usually already. It comes pre-included. Yes, batteries are included. Woohoo! Yeah, I mean, surprising. Yeah, but the problem, their concern is that basically the way it works is that if a child can sort of remove the battery and they can play around with it and could swallow it, and that could be dangerous nonetheless. Now, this is a fair concern. Now, ironically, Apple has stated that earlier. There was an Australian retailer that literally stopped selling these because of the same concerns. Apple, though, on the other hand, then added a warning label if you bought one in Australia, saying that do not swallow the battery, obviously. Now, ironically, tile trackers, on the other hand, require a paper clip to swat the battery, which is different. You have to literally press the paper clip, it pops out. It makes it difficult to remove for kids to play with. So that's interesting, nonetheless. But also, the thing is, the Australian regulators here, the ACCC, are also looking to go after object trackers that have the same situation as the AirTag. The battery compartment's easily accessed, and kids can go in and kind of eat it, and cause mayhem, and the problems with their stomachs, So, but if you have kids and you want to use the AirTags, please securely attach them to whatever you're attaching to your kids' stuff, their backpack, or put them in a secure compartment. They're still accessible, but it's out of their hands. Keep them from their hands if you can. That's just my advice, frankly. This is a serious concern. I mean, you need to think about it, obviously, but yeah, this is a serious, genuine concern, and yeah, it's good on them that they raised it, and hopefully Apple will probably warn people to not screw around with the battery in that sense, so yeah. If you love Xbox and game streaming, I kindly want to remind you that Xbox's game streaming functionality is now available on PCs and iOS devices. You just go to the browser, it would work. If you have PC, it would work on Chrome and Edge, Microsoft Edge. And if you have an iOS device, use a Safari browser, type it in, log in, and start streaming, and you're able to play games at up to 1080p, 60 frames a second, because Xbox's game streaming functionality now runs on Xbox Series X servers, Blade servers. So that's that. So I kind of want to remind you that it's on a PC now, so you can go check it out if you haven't already. Game Pass Ultimate is $15 a month. So yeah, if you're not sponsored, but just want to remind you, it's actually the best game streaming service I've heard. And you can actually, and at least games are included. You don't have to get games separately, that's for sure. And finally, Lenovo has shown off some new devices. Again, it's not in conjunction with Mobile World Congress, but probably is. So they've shown off, they have a new version of their famous smart clock, which runs Google Assistant. Sorry. And a new yoga tab. So let's just talk about it, really. So first, got to talk about the smart clock too. So this was quietly announced, sort of. This is similar to the first version of the smart clock. It runs Google Assistant. It's a smart display, but small, but it's modest. There's no camera. You have a MediaTek chip running it. It has 8 gigabytes of storage, obviously to run Google's assistant on it. 3 watts of speaker power, so that's pretty good. 4-inch display, and it can even wirelessly charge through a separately sold dock. So if you really want to do it, if you want to get the dock, then why not? Seems unnecessary, but again, it's got this fabric design across it, and just volume controls on the top. So able to start alarms, play audio, do everything a Google Assistant allows you to, control your smart home right from, and it's great for your turn stand. It's sleek. This version will cost $90. This is obviously more. This is probably $10 more than the original, and probably way more than the $50 Smart Clock Essential, which goes to sale probably like for $25. But if you want this, then you should be interested in. Definitely, if you're interested, then do search for this. So that's that. And speaking of wireless chargers sold separately, it can support 7.5 and 10 watt charging, so it'll support iOS and Android phones without a problem. It's an iPhone though. Anyways, so that's that. So it's quite neat nonetheless. And then we got a brand new Yoga Tab 13. So this is kind of interesting. The Yoga Tab 13, this was already launched in China as the Yoga Pad Pro 13. This is their newest Android tablet. It costs €800 or $680. It has a MediaTek Helio G90T processor. I'm surprised that they're able to find a chip for a tablet. Phenomenal. Good Lenovo. It already was released in China. And just for context, this features a Snapdragon 870 processor, so it's a pretty premium tablet nonetheless. It's got a built-in stainless steel kickstand, which is pretty cool. It's like a handle, and you can put it, you can hang it right on a tab, or you know, those pull-down tabs or something if you want to, or you can put on a kitchen counter or anything. I mean, this is supposed to be used all over the place. This has a USB-C port 3.1 and a micro HDMI input, so you can plug in any other device, your laptop or anything, and can sort of display and you can use your tablet as a second display. Aside from the SD870 chip, 256 gigabytes of storage, 8 gigabytes of RAM, a 8 megapixel dual selfie camera, 8 megapixel sensor with a time of flight 3D sensor. Don't know what you can do with that, but that's pretty cool. It's a cool, neat idea. Wi-Fi 6, Bluetooth 5.2, so and 10,200 milliampere battery, face recognition out of the gate. This is just Wi-Fi only. There's no cellular support. Oh, you have a 13-inch 1350 by 2160 16 by 10 aspect ratio display, IPS display, HDR10 Dolby Vision support out of the gate. So the cool part of this Yoga Tab 13, this is finally an Android answer to the iPads and the Surfaces of the world. 13 inches, big beautiful display, that time of flight camera, sort of, that's cool for fun. That kickstand, the micro HDMI input, which is good to put like your games console or your laptop, so you can run stuff off it if you get bored. It's good. It's a good future-proof mechanism. But I don't know if it's worth $800, $680, $700, $800 nonetheless. Aside from that, you have a smaller Yoga Tab 11. Now this will start at $320 or €350, and this will be available this month and in the US in August. This has a Helio G90T processor that I mentioned earlier. Has both 4G and Wi-Fi variants, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 120 gigabytes of storage, and a configuration that has double the memory right out of the gate. 7,500 milliampere battery, so you get 15 hours of video playback, which is not bad. 20 watt fast charging, which is pretty good. You can even get a precision pen, so you can do doodling sketches like as if you had an iPad Pro and an Apple Pencil, assuming you ever had one. So, and also it comes with Google's own new specific tablet functionality, like the entertainment space and the kid space that they have, which is pretty cool. So this is all, and as I said, the Yoga Tabs are good with the kickstand and all. The previous Yoga Tabs had a projector on the side, so you could project stuff onto the wall, which is pretty cool. Now they're like stuff from Nebula and Anchor and stuff that offer it, but still. On top of that, you have some affordable productivity Android tablets. No mention of the OS probably, but it is Android based. The P11 and P11 Plus or the P11 series. So it's got a wide range of specs, to say the least. So for context, where is it? So the regular P11 Plus has a Snapdragon 662, from, say, the G90T, and it's got three different storage configs, 4 gigabytes of RAM, or 6 gigabytes of RAM, and you can go all the way up to 128 gigabytes of storage, 11-inch IPS display, 60 hertz refresh rate, and you could pair it with a keyboard that comes sold separately. This will cost €300 or $260 when it launches. So that's that, really. So this is interesting if you're looking for an affordable tablet that does it all and runs Android. If you want Android, if you still want an Android tablet, and you've had an old one, this is something to look forward to. But if you don't want to spend $300, there's always the M7 and M8 tabs. Lots of tabs, man. We're taking the processors for this. It seems like Lenovo is the only company that's still looking to make Android tablets. The M7 costs, the newest version, costs €120. It has a 7-inch display, as always, an MT8166 processor, has a Wi-Fi only variant, and it has a different processor for the 4G variant. It runs Android 11 Go, so it will run very fast. 2 gigabytes of RAM and 32 gigabytes of storage, Wi-Fi AC, micro USB, the gate. The M8, though, is an upgrade in a sense. It has a Helio P22T processor, 8-inch display, as in the name, and front-facing speaker. So if you wanted a cheap tablet for content consumption, the M8 is really one to go for, really. And this can offer Google Assistant ambient mode. So if you've ever wanted a Nest Hub, but you also wanted a tablet, two-in-one, you know, you want an actual two-in-one, you know, a tablet and then a smart display. Tablet for watching Netflix on the couch, and then when you want to control your home, smart home, like a boss, and you want to pop it in on a kitchen kickstand, there's this, the ambient mode with a smart charging station. Now, Lenovo has offered this with the Fire Tab. No, this is based off what Amazon's been doing. Amazon's been offering some of their Fire Tabs with Alexa mode. So the idea is you pop your tablet into a charging stand, and it will pop in Alexa mode. So it'll run like an Echo Show. Even though it's not, but it is. It can. And I think it's wonderful, environmentally friendly. That's one less device to worry about. So if you don't want a smart clock, you don't want a Nest Hub, you want a tablet and a smart display, because smart displays really are stationary tablets, but you want them to move around. This option is there. The M8, you can get the charging station dock. It's sold separately. We don't know how much, but it's available. So that's all new stuff from Lenovo. Pretty cool stuff, you know, for your binge watching and your lifestyle. So that's wonderful nonetheless. Aside from everything I've heard today, the One UI Watch OS that's coming out soon, new devices. What do you think of everything I've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at @Sane_99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts right now. Leave a review if you're on Apple Podcasts. Share this to your friends and family as much as you can. Forward this on WhatsApp. This is something to forward on WhatsApp compared to, I don't know, COVID-19 advice. Hey, guys, if you're doing that, please don't. But yeah, till Thursday, this is your boy Marlon signing out. Thank you for listening. Take care, stay safe, have a lovely day, and I'll see you on Thursday with another episode of Marlon's Gadget Talk. All right, take care. Peace. Thank you for listening. Ciao. All right. It's bye-bye from me, and I think the call to prayer is happening. All right, ciao.